ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I am the host of the show, and I'm excited that you're here. And before we get started, of course, I always like to ask wherever you are viewing us, if you happen to be at E360 TV, thank you for being out there. Appreciate you viewing. And you can also see all of the great history of this show through E360. Getting that English out early is a tough one. Through E360 TV. Oh, goodness. And we are also live on Facebook. We are live on YouTube. So wherever you happen to be watching and enjoy it, and you can also watch on my Facebook, on my website at www.adventuresintruth.com. So there's lots of places you can catch us live 2 days a week, Wednesdays and Fridays. And wherever you do that, I appreciate you liking and subscribing, and I appreciate you sharing to let everybody know we're here and what a great show we have. And I'm excited. Today is going to be a fun show. We've got Moshe Engelberg back to have another conversation with Moshe. And today's topic is an interesting one, unraveling leadership and being a leader. I kind of pulled together sitting in this topic because initially it was kind of, okay, leadership, you know, where do I want to go with this? Where do we want to go with this? And suddenly I started having some thoughts about that. And so the focus of the show today is to really sort of dive into the whole idea of leadership, that what is it that sparks leadership? What is it that attracts us to leadership? What is it that makes a leader? Why do we follow certain people and not others? How do we become leaders of our lives? Are we a leader in our own lives? So it sort of started going to this place of this idea of, is there a balance in all of this? And we're going to talk about this more later, meaning that everyone has these components of leadership and following. Everyone has this balance of abilities because of the amazing energy that we carry. Very much similar to the idea in my mind of the male and female equipment, you know, that we have that while we may be predominantly male or predominantly female, we have a combination of both of those elements. I kind of think leadership and being a follower is a little similar, and we'll dive into that. But the interesting part is today, as I was getting prepared and I was out on my hike this morning, I started finding myself having this kind of combative relationship with this concept of leadership. And I was hearing in my head this sort of fight against energy about what I'm perceived is the consciousness of leadership. So it's going to be interesting, and I'm going to let Moshe drive a bunch of this today, because his book, The Amari Wave, is all about bringing love into business, but it's also about how to be an effective leader. And so it's kind of interesting, and I think it's going to be kind of interesting to have that conversation. Here's a copy of Moshe's book, The Amari Wave, Uplifting Business by Putting Love to Work. So this is going to be a great conversation. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it. But I also think it could be very revealing, because usually if I start to feel a little stimulated by the conversation, there's some piece of good truth in there somewhere that's about ready to break free for me. So I'm excited to share it. I'm excited to see where it's going to go from here. So bear with us. We'll be back right after this. Bum, bum, bum. I have to find my buttons, and the buttons are all over the place here. All right. Sorry about that. www.fearisachoicebook.com. Check it out. I was taking a moment to kind of settle myself as I was getting button crazy for a second. Fear is a Choice book. It's a powerful, powerful book. And I want to start here again by saying thank you. So many of you have ordered the book. So many of you talking about your experience with the book. And I can't even begin to tell you how fulfilling and satisfying that is. Above and beyond, because the mission of the book is being accomplished, and that is to change your relationship with fear. And so changing the relationship with fear is profound on so many levels, is profound on so many levels, because it opens us up in ways that I truly believe we don't even comprehend in any major way, because fear dumbs down the human experience. Fear sort of creates this very limited viewpoint that we see through the world and see into our world. And so as you peel back these layers and you begin to change your relationship with fear, it grants access to more of you. You become more available to your world, to your life, to your energy, and your energy becomes more available to you. So there's this huge expansion that goes on, and you get to learn so much more about all that you are when you're not locked into the cage of fear, because who you are is beyond incredible and magnificent. And while you may not get to that complete understanding in the first day, you certainly can go from being in that fear-based experience to an opportunity-based experience and seeing all of the things that can come from that experience. So check it out, www.fearsachoicebook.com. There you can check out reviews. The order links are there for Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all that good stuff. And there's video there as well, and you can contact me if you have questions or comments. Please check it out, and we'll be right back right after this. All right, my world is good. We're going to do this quick today. My world is good. This is the year of conscious creation. Keeping it short, my world is good 10 times in the morning, 10 times at the end of the day, and use my world is good to help you to fine-tune your alignment throughout the day. So if you find yourself feeling a little wonky, you find yourself feeling a little off, just take a second. My world is good. My world is good. Just feel into it. Generate the appreciation. Generate the goodness. And see how your world changes when you spin up your energy, when you spin up your vibration to a place that's not locked in fear or worthiness or anything else, that you can simply shift by how you place your focus. My world is good. Powerful movement. Been going on for a year. I appreciate all of you out there that are participating in this movement. I feel you. I appreciate the feedback that you provide about the amazing experiences you're having. I continue to have incredible experiences on a daily basis, honestly. And when I say incredible, it doesn't mean that they're like, oh my God, the world is, oh my gosh. It's incredible because of the level of deep satisfaction and joy that any particular moment or situation brings. And that can be the way I see a particular tableau in my sight while I'm looking, you know, I'm looking at the mountain and I see colors and shapes and sizes that just titillate and stimulate and just feel amazing. Or I see my dog, or I see my husband, or I see whatever it is, and then the appreciation wells up, and I just want to share my world is good. And even if things are happening that don't feel great, you can still feel the goodness in your world and still know that the more that you generate the goodness, the outcomes can become more positive. The outcomes can become more to your favor. Because remember, this is all a creative process. This is all a creative process. And what you are perceiving is your thoughts and beliefs and ideas that you're playing out in your consciousness, being cast out into the environment, and then reflecting back to you or feedbacking to you about that perception or idea. And then you build your perception based on that. So as you build goodness into your world, and as you expand the concept of goodness in the world, you begin to have a different experience and you begin to allow for other experience. So my world is good. Check it out. Powerful, powerful stuff. And we will be right back right after this. And Moshe will be joining us. All right, guys. It's going to be a good show here, and we're going to bring Moshe in, if I can find my things here. There he is. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you? Good to see you. Another exciting day in the neighborhood.
Yep, we're back.
So, I'm going to have a conversation about leadership today. Unraveling leadership and being a leader. So I had written earlier in the intro, just real quickly here, I was saying, why do we follow a leader? Let's think about this for a long moment. Is it because of follower? Is it because as a follower, we don't believe in our ability? Is it because we don't want the responsibility of being a leader? Are you a leader in your own life? Do you step up as the authority of your life experience? Shouldn't we all be a healthy mix of leader and follower? And if we were a healthy mix of the two, would we be more discerning about who we allow to lead or who we are willing to follow? So that's a good starting point. There's another segment here that is all about to do with energy that I want to get into. But even as I read that, I realize that there was a focus in this that had more to do with I'm not even sure what the word is, because it has to do with leadership. It has to do with being a leader. But I feel like I have a certain angle at it, even as I read that. So I don't want to put an angle out that I don't understand.
Yes.
Or that I'm not clear about. So let's talk about I'm sure you heard the intro. So let's talk a little bit about the idea of leadership from your perspective. You've written a great book about leadership and bringing love into that whole construct. So what do you want to say about it? Anything?
Yes. When I wrote the book, it took a while for me to get clear that a primary audience was leaders. And at first I wasn't comfortable about that because I wanted the book to be for everybody. It doesn't matter what their official role in the company is or was. And then it dawned on me, and it was kind of like a duh, that everybody is a leader in the sense of leading their own life. Mm-hmm. Like you were just speaking about, stepping into that role of ownership and responsibility. So that shifted it. And it's kind of an and both. And there's a reality that in business, there are people who are granted leadership titles and leadership roles who make decisions that affect others and who are looked to as leaders, who essentially tell people what to do or are asked to show where to go.
So do you find one of the places that I was thinking about earlier too was this idea of, as I was running it through my head, remembering my own business background from seems like 100 years ago, that thinking in terms of levels, you know, so you have shift supervisor and you have maybe a shift supervisor, maybe you have a lead, maybe you have, you know, in different industries, those titles are different, but essentially it's all the same. There are these levels of titles that each one affords you or requires you to attend to a certain number of people or a certain range of things that are your responsibility. But then I realized, wait a second, those are titles. That's not anything, that doesn't make you a leader. That makes you a title. That makes you a thing. So you're a lead. Okay. Well, the idea is that the quality of the lead is that there would be hopefully be some leadership ability there. And whether that can be cultivated. So it seems like the whole industry, all of them, the industries are sort of generated in this idea of you may have leadership skill, but let's put you in situations and have you do these jobs and show us your skill set. And then if we think you have a reasonable skill set, we'll endow you with a leadership role. We'll say you're a leader here because you show that you have certain skills. And then I went to look at definitions. And the thing that struck me about the definitions is that leadership and definition seems to be more about the individual who has a very specific ability to get people or to generate people going from point A to point B, to achieve a result, to achieve, but has that capacity or the ability to do that. And I find myself getting mired in it again, interestingly enough. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think what you're distinguishing is title from effect. Mm-hmm. So someone who's called a chief executive officer or a shift lead or whatever doesn't mean they're functionally or effectively a leader. Like, we've all heard stories about people who are not good leaders, even though they have the title. Mm-hmm. And there's people, so if we look at leadership by its effect, so if you are, so you, Jim, doing the show, mm-hmm. are a leader in that you're showing people a different way to be, and you're mm-hmm. inviting them to do that. So by writing your book, that's an act of leadership. By doing this podcast, that's an act of leadership. It doesn't matter if your title has leader in it, it's what you're doing.
So I was thinking, this is a really good, I'm glad you brought this up, because I was thinking of it in terms of doing sessions.
Yeah.
And I was going through, because what I was looking at was this idea of balance within the context of leadership, that I'm not a leader all the time. There are times that it's not appropriate, or it's not, I don't want to, or I mean, I have within the course of all of my life have always seemed to always ended up in some form of leadership of some kind. And I've always wondered about that, because I was looking for this morning. I was like, what is this? What is the thing in me? Is it control? Is it that? And that's where it started to go with the thought about the title versus leadership ability, is that for most, the title gives them authority, and the authority means they control things. And if you get pretty good, then you learn how to manage things rather than control things. If you have a leadership capacity, or now, if you've cultivated the leadership capacity within yourself, which is there for everyone, then it goes beyond that to where you are inspiring or uplifting the team that you work with to the result, because you have the ability to hold the space for that. Your knowledge base, your understanding, the way you build a team or the way you build your situation creates that a different kind of experience. So in context to the sessions, I was thinking, you know, I go into the session as a leader because I am guiding people through a process of how to change their relationship with fear and to open up different things in their body. And I have the expertise for that. So I feel very comfortable in that role. But once we get on the table, I am no longer the leader. I am a facilitator. I am a space holder. The leading is going on by the energy of the person that's on the table. And so I become a component of their leadership, of their own experience. Now, I may need to adjust that. Is that you? That's not me.
Sorry, I don't know.
It's okay. And then so through the session, there has to be this sort of yielding process, or this following the energy, sort of being attentive to their particular space. And then at some point in the process, that'll return, you know, I'll return to a leadership role as I guide them out of the process and back into their, you know, back into this reality and experience, and providing some framework. And then it shifts again into more of a teaching role in helping people to reframe their experience as they leave and go out into the world before they come back to see me again. And then once they're gone, I'm a support mechanism until the time comes for the leadership to step in again. What do you think about that?
I like it a lot. I like how you distinguish between leading, facilitating, teaching. And I see a similarity, as it's all, in all of it, is an invitation to go a different direction. The distinction to me is, are you telling people what that direction is, or letting their energy tell them what that is?
So for me, it's about sharing what their energy is doing, because it continues to be amazing to me where, as in, we'll be in session and stuff will come up. I think this happened to you. This was with you one time. I had this whole download of stuff that I'm like, for the entire session, going, what am I going to do with this information? Like, no, but I can't. Somebody's not going to sit up on the table. I'm going to go here, you know. Right. Like, and again, the magic of that is trusting the process of like, I am the receiver in this moment. I am the follower of this energy. And when I'm almost sure it was you. And then you sat up on the table at the end of the session. And the first thing that came out of your mouth was a question about everything that I had been listening to for the last half hour. So you just gave me permission to share the whole experience. And so I did. And then it was like, oh my gosh. And maybe it wasn't you, but anyway, it was an extraordinary thing. But even in that context, the power in it was the question came from the space of the same energy that I had defined. So it was an ability to translate that, and it was about their experience, not mine. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the cool thing, is that as I share that information, that individual is connecting the dots of their own experience and seeing this tapestry that's being woven. And I just got to fill the words in, you know, to provide context for the experience that they just had or are just having. So why did I go there? Because I think we were just, go ahead.
We were distinguishing between leading, facilitating, teaching, and I was saying they all open a pathway. They're all an invitation.
Yeah. Powerful invitation. Jackie jumped in. I want to share this because I love what she had to say here. Remembering everyone at the table has a worth of knowledge or a wealth of knowledge, either one. I love the way that feels. And thank you, Jackie. And hi, good to see you. Welcome. Glad you're here. But that's a powerful idea. And let's get into that on the other side of the break. We're going to take a quick break here and do a moment of focus. It'll help me too, because I feel a little bumpy in this one. So Moshe, we'll be right back. We're going to take a moment to focus. And if I can find it, let's Sounds take good. A moment to focus. We'll see you in just a sec. Yeah. All right, guys. So this is a powerful part of the show for me. They're all powerful parts, but I love this part of the show because this is where the rubber meets the road. So I want you to take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth and kind of get yourself situated wherever you are. And I just want you to continue breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. And with each breath, feel yourself getting more settled, more centered, more focused, more present in this moment. And part of leadership in any capacity has to begin on the interior, right? It has to begin with a connection to self that allows you to unfold your experience, that allows you to learn, that allows you to grow, that allows you to continue to expand in the more of who you are as you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to focus now and bring your awareness. Take your middle fingers and just touch your breastbone right into the middle of the heart space. And just gently feel there. You'll feel a little soft spot in the center of your chest as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And just gently touch that spot there. Just gently touch. Kind of what we call a merge in my business. It's just a gentle merging into the connective tissue here, into the tissue. And in this tissue is collagen. And the collagen is what they call piezoelectric, meaning as you touch it, it creates an electrical stimulation in the energy system of the body. So as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to focus into the heart space. Bring all of your awareness there, right into the center of the chest, right into the center of the breath. And continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you continue that breath and you settle more completely into the center of your heart, I want you to become aware of your field. Your field is your energy, the thing that extends well beyond the physical vessel, well beyond this body. You are energy. You are a magnificent, I think, undefinable amount of energy. And as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, feel and become aware of the enormity of your field, the power of your field, the magnificence of your field. All from the vantage point of the center of your heart that's generating that field, your heart that is doing all of these amazing things, that's generating this energy of love, that's generating this field of you, right? And it's going in 360 degrees in all dimensions. And I want you to, just for a moment, I want you to consciously coalesce that experience of the energy of you. I want you to bring it into your heart. So just be with your breath. And as you're being with your breath, call your energy into your heart. Feel that energy start to build and coalesce. I just want you to have a sensation of the enormity of the power that you carry. And I want you to feel that tingling and that warmth that runs through your body as you bring that energy into your heart. Just bring it in enough so that you can feel how powerful that is. And you can feel it's almost like a nuclear kind of experience. It's just power. It's pure energy. It's pure life force. And it's glistening and glowing and incredible as you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And now allow that energy. Just explore the inside of yourself. Explore the cavity that your brain sits in and touch your brain. Reach in and touch your pituitary. Notice the fluid that surrounds the brain and all of the interiority that you have as you look through your eyes from the back, as you see and experience your brain coming down to the brainstem, connecting to the spine. This incredible thing, this spine, this conductor of energy that's encased in this amazing fluid and protected with bone, and the nerves that emanate off of that, that go to all of the organs and systems of the body as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. You're experiencing the incredible world of this body as you are just exploring, becoming aware of the systems, all of the systems that are in your body. There's a muscular system and a skeletal system and a vascular system and a nervous system and a digestive system. And notice that all of these, as you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, are working in harmony without your attention. And that they look to find balance and to maintain balance in whatever you're feeling and thinking. They're adjusting and shifting, but these systems are all working together to keep this physical body on the planet so that you have a vehicle with which to explore this time and place reality as you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And now I want you to just release the active focus and just be in this space of your magnificence for just this moment. And I want us to breathe together. You're going to inhale to a count of four. You're going to rest at the top, relaxing into that fullness. And then you're going to exhale to a count of six, releasing all of the energy and old air to prepare yourself for the next moment as you then rest in the emptiness for a minute, preparing to receive new energy. Remember, breath is life force. It's chi, it's prana. Every breath is creation. You are creating life every breath you take. And that is the magnificence of this now moment, that in this moment you create, and this moment you create, and this moment you create. So as we focus into that, your focus is into the heart. We're going to take a deep breath, inhaling to a count of four. Inhale, two, three, four, feeling full, letting those shoulders and neck relax, feeling amazing, and then choosing to surrender it from the mouth. Exhaling, two, three, four, five, six, amazing. And now rest in the emptiness. Feel yourself in that empty space resting. And now engage the lungs. Inhale, two, three, four, feel that fullness, feel that amazing richness of feeling full. Feel the aliveness coursing through every cell of your body. And now consciously choose to surrender it in this moment as you exhale. Two, three, four, five, six. And here we are in the void, in the emptiness, in anticipation of the next moment. Here we go, inhaling. Two, three, four, feeling full, feeling awesome. Feel the richness of the fullness and then surrendering that breath. Two, three, four, five, six. As we rest into the void, into not know, being comfortable and relaxed in the emptiness as we anticipate the next moment when we take our next breath. Inhaling, two, three, four, holding. Good. And now release it. Two, three, four, five, six. And as you continue this breath process for just another minute, just breathing it in powerfully, sticking with it, letting these words wash over you, just taking it in. I surrender to my love. I surrender to my potential. I surrender to my abundance. I surrender to my love. And just allow yourself to feel that. And as you do, as you become aware of that field again, just let it emanate back out. Just watch as it expands. Look at the incredible energy that you carry and let it expand in 360 degrees in all dimensions. Let it just move away from you and just observe that it continues to move and continues to expand and continues to grow. And the more you facilitate that, the more it continues to do that. And you are magnificent. You are amazing. And bringing your awareness now back into the space as we grab Moshe to come on back into the show and carry on with this amazing topic. Hey there. Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. So I don't know what it is today. But so I shifted to this, who are you and why? Because I feel like we have spent a lifetime being kind of coerced and cattle called into a role. Are you a leader or are you a follower? Are you a creator or are you an influencer? Are you a leader? You know, but the leader follower thing seems to be a pretty, has been a pretty consistent theme. And so how do you define that for yourself? And why do you choose that role? I think it's important to ask those questions because I want us, and I think you'd mentioned this earlier, I want us to understand that we are all of them. We're all of those roles in any given situation, and that our energy, who we are, is what makes that so, because there is no one like you. No one came on this planet who is like you, and you have talents and gifts and abilities and strengths and weaknesses and things that will always benefit anyone on the planet, if you're choosing to step into that place. But if we feel diminished because we're not in comparison to somebody else as good as something, we lose track of what we have the ability to do, in my opinion. And that confuses then who we think we are, because then we have to feel like I guess I'm a follower because I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't think like this and I don't think like that. Or I'm a leader because I think I know everything and I want to control the world. You know
what I mean? Well, I have the feeling that there's something underneath this that would be helpful to explore.
Yeah.
Which is the idea of, is there judgment about being a leader versus being a follower? As in, let me shake that off. As in... being a leader means having power. That means controlling and manipulating. That's bad. Being a follower shows weakness and lack of initiative. That's bad. So I think there's both those beliefs can be kind of muddying this.
Yeah.
And so I want to put that on the table to...
I think it's a brilliant observation. I think that's part of... that's part of that angsty part that I was feeling is there is true, you know, the idea of true leadership is influence. True leadership is not necessarily needing to stand up and claim leadership.
Yeah.
It's the force of direction and momentum that can be created because in any given situation, a particular person has an alignment and energetic influence in the situation that sort of expands their power base in that moment for whatever reason. It's a comprehensive kind of, to me, a kind of an understanding. But, and again, the flip side of that is there are those that it is all about control. You know, it is all about being able to control their environment. So being a leader means I get to control what happens in the environment. I'm not at the effect of what happens in the environment.
Right. And that's where the judgment comes in, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how we get to a place of saying, kind of like the way you talk about money. Money's not good or bad. It's just a form of energy, an expression of energy. And maybe leadership is the same thing. Of it's a kind of energy that it's a moving energy. It's the beginning that gives direction or exposes possibilities. And following is simply stepping into that.
Yeah. As you were talking, I was thinking about my own experiences in leadership and knowing that for me, for a long time for me, being a leader, which seemed to happen kind of organically, like I didn't have to jump up, but I was also not shy about, you know, if it was brought up, okay, this is the group that's working together, who's going to lead the group? You know, depending on the circumstance, I was never afraid to say, I'm happy to, because I do know that for me, having an element of control of the environment was important to me. Because I don't know why, though. I don't know, not because I needed to control them, and not because I needed to control the narrative, and not because I needed to control what took, but I wanted to feel like I had some, I wanted to feel like I had influence on the environment. And then that grew over time, where I started, all the peripheral stuff stopped being important. And it became about, what am I bringing to this, so that I could start to discern for myself that depending on the environment or the topic, I may not choose to step up and offer leadership because I didn't feel it, because I didn't know what necessarily it was doing, or I just didn't resonate with whatever it is we were doing. And I'd rather just sit in the background a little bit and see what unfolds, because I wasn't feeling completely aligned to that circumstance. Did any of that make sense?
It does. It does. And as you were saying that, I was picturing you hiking in the mountains near your house. And you had talked about when you moved last year that you started a hiking group, kind of, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
You went on hikes and there, you have a lot of neighbors with dogs. And so they joined you. And it wasn't the way you described it, wasn't, I'm going to create this or I'm going to lead this. It just evolved because you took the initiative to say to others, come on, this is fun, come join me, let's do this.
Right.
And I think a lot of people prefer, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's fear or just preference or something else, prefer not to take that initiative, but to act on others' initiative.
And that, I think, is that's a very powerful point, and one that leads to the second part of what the intro was about that I want to share here real quick. So I said we all come with and develop amazing talent, ability, and skills along our life journey. But we also come with something even more amazing, and that's our energy. We are all called to lead, and we are all called to follow. As we become more and more conscious, we recognize that it is important and necessary to be both, and to trust ourselves to know which energy or role or in the situation or experience, as we become more and more conscious, we recognize that it is important and necessary to be both, and to trust ourselves to know which energy or role serves in the situation or experience before us. It all starts with being a leader of your own life.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is where it ultimately comes down, because when you're thinking in terms of job, or you're thinking in terms of life in general, well, I don't know if that's true. So the idea of leading when we get into situations or environments, we tend to defer to the group rather than maintain our individuality. And so I think as you become more skilled at leading your life, you become less willing to just give it to the group without having some assessment of where the group is or the environment is in relation to you and your energy. Are you following that?
Yeah.
And so the more I think we get centered into leading in our own lives, and what does that mean? That means what are you doing on a daily basis to support your energy? What are you doing on a daily basis in a minute and on you know, within the course of your life? What are the things that, what are the activities that you're doing, or how are you cultivating this idea of I create my own reality? That means I lead my life. And so if you don't believe that you create your reality, how do you lead your experience? Because you're giving your power to something outside of yourself that's saying that thing is what's leading my life. And so it seems like we sort of adopt that as that's the way it's supposed to be. So if in the context of things, God is the one that's leading my life, well, then that means my power centers are not in me. My power center is out there. So if I'm at work, then the God is my boss, and that boss becomes my power center. And if I'm at group activity and, you know, you're over here, that whatever it is, you sing in a men's chorus, the director becomes that person. And in none of those places do you show up as the leader in your life necessarily. Or maybe you do until you walk in the doorway and then you're no longer the leader. It's kind of an interesting dynamic, but what are your thoughts there?
Well, I think of a couple specific examples. One is a classic study in social psychology from maybe 30, 40 years ago about responsibility. And would be someone would act as though they got hurt. And if so these were real life experiments. I think the one was done in New York. So someone got hurt, and if there were 10 or 20 people around, nobody would take the initiative to help. If there was only one person, that person would go help. So there was this diffusion of responsibility, or this abdication of responsibility, like, well, everyone else is standing around, I guess I'll stand around, or should I do it, or should someone else? So if you get hurt, it's better to have one person there than 20, which seems counterintuitive.
It really does.
So we sort of lose ourselves in groups. Like, whose decision is it? Who's going to tell? And the other thing I'm thinking of, a conversation I had, this was back in college with, so I was whatever, 18, 19 years old, freshman college, and a girl who lived in the same dorm who was from Germany, whose father was active as a Nazi. And that was very triggering for me. And but we had a good conversation about it, and she was crying and kind of ashamed, but saying, what could he do? That was, if he didn't participate, he would probably get killed. What could he do? And we have all kinds of examples of following tyrants and others and feeling like we have no, well, we just have to do it. So I think leadership, leading your life, that your title for this section, really comes down to conscious decisions and the sense of empowerment. I know you described, we were talking about some of these mass shootings. Mm-hmm. This was a few years ago. And your explanation was, sure, policies are important and all these other things, and gun control is certainly important. And underneath it is where people feel powerless. Mm-hmm. So it's not being seen and not feeling power. So an expression of leadership is saying, I have power. And I'm not suggesting in any way that using guns is a good thing to do to express power. I think the opposite. But there's a lot of examples of we essentially lose our consciousness and lose our sense of power. And I think leadership boils down to a combination of those two things.
I like it. So I know that you are about ready to need to move on here, but what I wanted to, as a final thing here, because I wanted to bring Amari into this conversation, how do you see in the context of leadership? Can you talk about that a little bit and bringing love to leadership?
Yes.
What that looks like or how that feels?
Yes. So Amari's Latin for love, and I define love as energy that uplifts and connects. And so someone is being a leader when they're offering that to others in their workplace. It's as simple as that. If I'm working with a large group and say something or do something that uplifts others and creates a sense of connection. In my view, that's an act of leadership based in love. And in terms of title, so if we go to the C-suite and have the CEO and CEO and so on, the decisions they make that the decisions they make that influence others can be rooted in that energy of love or not. So there's there's always a consideration of, is this uplifting? Is this connecting? And even more so, is this in alignment?
Yeah, with I like that.
Good. So that's kind of, to me, the essence of putting love to work, leading with love.
Very cool. Love it. I love it. I love it. It was reminding me, I don't know why this flashed into my head, but just as an end note here, I was watching on the news about the Facebook dramas that are going on and all the stuff that's happening with the lack of control there. And they said something that struck me about Zuckerberg, and I think I was thinking of it in terms of like Elon Musk and Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos. And we consider these people leaders, right? They're company owners, but they're considered leaders because they make a lot of money. And Mark Zuckerberg is not a leader. Mark Zuckerberg is a technician who happened into something that made him a lot of money and have no freaking clue what he's doing.
Yeah.
In the context of what he has created and the impact it's creating in the world, he is completely insufficient to be able to deal with what he's created. But it is a microcosm of the macrocosm of what I've talked about on other shows, which is we're there a lot with a lot of things because we have mislabeled what people are or mislabeled their ability because they've shown up in a way that makes us think that they have a capacity that they don't have.
Yeah.
They had the capacity to create something. They didn't have the capacity to do more with it because that wasn't their role. That's not their energy. But
love it.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you so much, Moshe, for being here. This is a great conversation. I'm going to carry on for a few minutes here, but love leads, guys. And I think that's the key here to all of this business of leadership. And we're going to come back right after this break and let Moshe go.
Thank you. Good to see you.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back right after this. All right, you guys, we are. I'm excited because in just a couple of weeks, sorry, it took me a minute to get here. In just a couple of weeks, I'm going to be a part of the Activate Your Evolution virtual retreat. You can check it out at Activate Your Evolution. I want to give you the, boy, am I having a good time with my buttons today. All right, activateevolution.com is the place you want to go. There it is, Activate Evolution. Okay, so activateevolution.com. I'm going to be presenting, there's going to be a number of amazing presenters that is all about activating your evolution, activating this awakening and how to sustain it, how to expand it. And I'm going to have the good fortune of talking about how you change your relationship with fear through state shifting. And we do this every time we're on the show. So it's going to be a great topic. I'm going to provide tools. There's going to be some giveaways. It's going to be a great 3 days. November 11th to the 14th virtual retreat, activateevolution.com. Go there to register. We'll look forward to seeing you there. It's going to be a great time, and we'll be right back. Today is just a day. It is. I keep trying to catch up with myself. It is the funniest thing. All right, guys, we are talking about an amazing topic today, which is about leadership and leading your life. This is important. We were talking just before the break. We were talking about the idea of Zuckerberg and what's happening with Facebook. But I think we're seeing it all over the planet. And that is that we have a misconstrued viewpoint of leadership. And I think a leadership is something that comes from how we lead our lives. And then, you know, how that's used to help uplift other people, how that's used to help expand things, how it's used to expand the human experience. We all have a certain amount of power. Zuckerberg was an incredible person who created a platform that, look at what it is. You know, Elon Musk creates amazing things, but does that make him a leader? He gets forced into leadership because he has great ideas, but ideas do not afford leadership except in the context of the idea. So within the context of building a Tesla, he is a leader because he has the skill set and all the information about that. But outside of that, who is the leader? You know, if you think about Zuckerberg, outside of what he created, who is the leader? So you part of that is picking the right people, but part of that is knowing your capability. Part of that is knowing what you can or can't do. And of course, we're all going to grow. Of course, we're all going to continue to evolve. But in order to be a leader, I think you have to be able to help uplift people to the next level, to the next place, to the desired destination. And so maybe it's time to rethink how we think about leadership, or maybe it's time to rethink how we engage leadership, because I think if we start to take more clarity and responsibility to leading our lives, our individual life, and I don't mean living it day to day, that's not leading. Just because you get up in the morning and go to work for somebody and you do your job and you get your paycheck and you pay your bills and you're a good doobie doesn't make you a leader in your life. Making you a leader in your life is consciously choosing to engage all that you are. And how do I bring that to the world? Because you are a specifically unique and amazing creature. You are a specifically unique and fundamentally awesome energetic being that is here for a reason, that is here because your energy is important. So lead your energy. Lead your energy and experience. And then where you need to show up in leadership will show up for you clearly and obviously, because you'll be able to step into things and talk about things and they'll feel natural and they'll feel real and they'll feel right. That was a big transition for me when I started taking leadership into my own world, that I stopped being afraid of a lot of things because I wasn't feeling like a fake anymore. I wasn't running around in imposter syndrome. You know, is imposter syndrome really, is it ultimately really about thinking that you're one thing when you're not because you haven't done the thing to lead your life? Isn't imposter syndrome about pretending to be a lot of things, but never committing to and taking responsibility for leading your life? Because when you lead your life, when you do that, you create a momentum in the world that lights up around you. And that light then attracts to it the things that this light will enhance, because that's the space that you're in. When I happened into this experience, I was originally working with other people, and that was amazing, and it was wonderful, and it worked well for a period. But then as I continued to lead in my life, things began to change, and I had to step in a different way, and I had to trust that stepping into a different way via my internal leadership process. My internal leading of my life through my daily practice, through continuing to be aware of how I use my energy, what my energy can do, how I can influence all of those things. But also it is the responsibility and power of recognizing that I'm not the be all end all of it. I know what my lane is, and I like my lane, and I continue to grow within my lane, and I continue to expand my lane, and hopefully will even be able to have other lanes that I can travel down. But I know where my lane is. I know where I feel completely empowered and leading in my life. And then I can use that to help shore up other areas of my life that may not feel as secure. So let's focus into leading in our own lives, starting with the idea of creating my own reality. Even if you can only take a little bite of that at a time, that's okay. Take a little bite, but move into it every day in more power, right? Every day in more power. We got a comment. Let me see what's going on over here. Love you too. Thank you, Jackie. So appreciate you being here. So leading your life, it's huge. It's huge. And then to finish this for today, as Moshe was saying, Amare, lead with love. Love leads always. And when you are loving self and you are connected to your leadership within, you're leading your own life. You lead that through love. You don't lead it through discipline. You don't lead it through I mean, you can, but it's less sustainable because your interest and your mind's ability to maintain focus in that direction for a long time is not great. You know, unless you've practiced it and practiced it and practiced it. But even then, if it's not in alignment with the core vibration with you, and you're not leading through you, then the thing is going to eventually feel unfulfilling and dissatisfying because you're not connected to it. Only by mind are you connected to it, and mind is not sustainable for a way to create connection. So building that amare, building that love leads experience in your own world, lead with love, because it will take you to the next place, and then you'll show up and be able to discern, ah, do I step in here, or do I just become a support mechanism for here because someone else has already taken that position? Someone else is already driving this particular bus. We all have abilities. We all have capabilities. You don't have to be a leader. You don't have to choose to be a leader. I think it's more about getting in here and feeling what feels best for you, what feels most aligned for you. You know, there are days that I would love to be in front of groups talking to people, and I'm very comfortable in front of groups talking to people. But there are other days that I have no interest in being in front of groups talking to people. So, you know, it's then I have this opportunity. I have this ability to talk to people. So it always works out for us the best possible way when we are committed and responsible to our own process and to our own evolution. So the message of this show ultimately about leadership is lead your life. Lead with love, lead your life. And I don't mean that in a woo-woo, you know, hyper-emotional experience. I mean truly lead with love. Lead in the way that leadership was truly meant to be, which is the upliftment and guidance and upliftment based on what you bring to the table, your specific energy. I have a capacity that I love to use. So I can use that in groups and environments. But I also know sometimes it's not the right place. It's not the right energy. So I'm perfectly happy to be a part of the group and contributing energy to support the person that is in leadership at that moment, that's sharing their gift and their talent and their ability to help take me from wherever I am to wherever it is we have agreed we're getting to. So can't thank you enough for being here today. We had a fun day. It was a little goofy at times. You know, me and my buttons got a little out of hand. But I always love talking to you, and I especially love having Moshe here to share this experience with us and really to take us to the next level with these conversations. I appreciate you out there. Make sure you like and subscribe and share, and we will see you next time. Join us on Friday for the next show, okay? We'll see you then, guys. Thanks very much. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescienceTransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.